Chapter 17. The Legend. Once again, Tobin felt out of breath. The group had raced to the river, back where they'd last seen the sea cucumbers. Desperate for a moment of rest, the pangolin slumped at the edge of an inlet. But then he noticed something strange. "Hmm," he murmured. "My eyes may be failing me, but look! There seems to be some sort of whirlpool." The others drew close and crouched at the bank. Indeed, the water was swirling in circles.
"It looks like it's being sucked down," observed Dawn.
"Down where?" Cora asked.
Suddenly, Ciro sprang to his feet and locked eyes with the fox.
"Could it be?" whispered Dawn.
Ciro shook his head in disbelief. "I've heard of them, only in legend."
Cora tilted her head, still confused.
"Heard of what?"
The canines turned toward the group.
"Mystical underground cave," said Ciro. "It's said that rivers flow through them." He looked back at the mysterious whirlpool.
"But I didn't think they were real," added Dawn. Her voice sounded skeptical. "With their strange light and rushing falls, it always sounded a little, well, made up."
The bats teetered forth.
"Strange light," said a bat. "Rushing falls," said another.
"That stuff's real," said a third.
"Real as rabbit."
Ciro's eyes flashed with excitement.
"What's that you say?" He moved toward the bats and crouched low. "You know of these caves?"
"Svor. One right beneath us, in fact. Used to hang in there all the time.
But it's crazy down there, like a maze.
Svor, you could get lost. Especially without sonar."
Dawn's ears stood tall and alert.
"Can you take us there?" she requested. "The screams have all been in this area, and yet there are no traces of the missing animals."
Dawn paused, seeming to piece together the information as she spoke.
"No traces above ground, that is. But I wonder what we might find if we go below."
"Into the caves, then," said one bat, "to look for the traces and the trouble."
"Oh, goodness," murmured Tobin, but he was nodding in agreement. A rush of wind blew through the air, rustling the leaves on the trees. The leather-winged creature stood still.
"Now," urged the fox, "take us there now."
The bats glanced at each other, perplexed.
"But they're already here," said one. In unison, the foursome pointed at a hole in the ground. It was about the width of a lemon.
"That's the entrance," finished another.
"Oh dear," Tobin muttered. He squinted at the tiny dark entrance and then eyed his own rounded belly.
"That'll be a tight squeeze."
"There are more entrances," said a bat. "But next one's way down that way." He pointed downstream.
"Or is that the way?" said another.
This one pointed up. The foursome stumbled back and forth, clearly confused.
"Julian, Ajax," said Ciro, "how long will it take you to widen this hole?"
The coyotes circled the opening, evaluating the composition and density of the dirt. The earth was packed and dry.
"Might take a while," said Julian.
"A while?" cried Cora. She shook her head and marched toward the hole. "We don't have a while," she said. "Step aside."
The animals raised their brows at the normally docile wombat.
"Please,"
Cora added. The coyote stepped back as the wombat planted herself in front of the hole. She flexed her paws, then dug her claws into the soil. Using all four limbs, she began to clear the debris, flinging rocks and dirt through the air. She even unearthed a few sticks that shot out behind her like spears. Shielded by tree trunks and bushes, the animals watched the wombat burrow and plow. Then the shower of earth stopped. Slowly, the group emerged from their cover. As the air cleared, Cora beamed. Before her stood a gaping hole in the ground.
"Let's get down there," she said.
"Now."